Brother Jim's not ready a week early. He's not up here ready to roll. So James 3, James chapter 3. So make sure you remind Brother Jim. You might want to give him a phone call Saturday. Give him a little reminder. Or be prepared, whichever one. Actually, Brother Jim mentioned to me the possibility of trying to recruit a new Sunday school teacher. So I don't think he meant permanently. I meant just to fill in. But maybe he meant permanently. I don't know. Yeah, oh, you did forget about that, huh? So anyway, you never know. One of you guys, he might just be coming to you today and saying, hey, Brother Ken's going to be gone for 3 weeks. You never know. All right, so James chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 13. So James 3:13. Let's pray first. Lord, we do thank you for your love. We do thank you, Lord, for your long suffering with us, your patience, and just, Lord, how you really just bless us in so many ways. And Lord, if we just get a hold of the idea, the fact that any of your blessings, a single one of your blessings, Lord, is more than what we deserve. And we just praise you, Lord, for how you do provide health and strength and safety and food and clothing, shelter, the word of God, the ability to be here this morning, a place to meet fellow believers, so many things, Lord. Help us to just stay tuned on those and just to be thinking about that and help that to allow us to put negative thoughts out of our mind and, Lord, just that we can be usable and able to be led of the Holy Spirit to do what you want, Lord. Just guide us in your word and help us have the humility, the meekness, Lord, to receive from your word what you'd have for us, and Lord, the yieldedness to put it into practice. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So verse 13 of James 3 says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works, excuse me, with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So thus far we've looked at pure. We also looked at peaceable and then gentle. And now we're down to easy to be entreated. Easy to be entreated. And looking this up, it's kind of interesting because it said that through the history of the word, you know, I didn't get this detail. Either it was E-N-T-R-E-A-T, and then it's changed to I-N-T-R-E-A-T. But either way, it's the same idea. Entreat, entreat, it's the same thing. And in Webster's, it said to make an earnest petition or request. So it's not just to make a petition or request, but an earnest one. And I guess we'll just start right there with the whole earnest idea, because one person's earnestness or urgency or passion or zeal is another person's, well, it's overboard for some people, you know, because sometimes some of us are a little bit more animated and urging people on about certain things, a little bit more zealous, a little bit more, come on, you can do it. Sometimes people get a little intimidated by that. But, you know, that let's look at Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 reminds me of this verse right here. So just starting off, we need to be mindful. First of all, we need to be entreated. All of us do. You know, and hopefully we get it from the Holy Spirit through the Word of God rather than needing it from somebody else, you know. But we still need encouragement. All of us do. How is it that I get up here and I get this frog? Is it like, is there something in the carpeting up here? Or maybe it's what is it? The trees? There's something in the trees? Every time I get up here, it seems like. Anyway, need to bring a cup of water or something. I need to invent something that just takes care of it. Of course, if I invented that, it'd probably take care of my voice and my ability to digest and everything all at the same time. But Hebrews 10, verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." We have to be aware of those we're trying to provoke. Now, usually provoking has a negative connotation, you know, to not provoke and so forth. But it is scriptural to urge people, to encourage them, to provoke them unto love and to good works. But the same thing's not going to work with everybody. It doesn't. The thing that works for me does not necessarily work for my wife. The thing that works for one of my children doesn't necessarily work for the other one. Some people receive things a little differently. They have a little different perspective on the right way to present the truth, so to speak. But we do need to consider one another. We need to think about the person we're talking to. If we're really, if we're really going to be able to entreat somebody, we've got to know who we're talking to. We've got to know a little bit about them. We need to have somewhat of a relationship with them, kind of a bridge with them, to try to help the truth be something they receive. You know, there's a saying, it goes something like, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Is that right? Anybody ever heard that before? No? Well, I think there's some truth there. Now, it's not like we're going to go to every door we knock on when we're going door to door and invite the people over for dinner and find out about their family and so on and so forth. That's a little different situation. But people need to know we care. People need, just like they need to know God cares. Now, that doesn't mean we don't talk about the holiness of God, and it doesn't mean we don't preach repentance, you know, but people need to know we care about them. It's more than just, okay, here's the truth. You better receive this and put it into practice and so on. No, they need the truth. We all need the truth. They need to put it into practice. We all need to put it into practice, but we need to love. We need to show them we love, that we care about them. And it needs to be in how we present the truth, our tone of voice, our mannerisms. You know, and so when we're entreating somebody, making an earnest request, sometimes, like I said, our earnestness is another person's pushiness, going too far. You know, so we got to know who we're talking to. And we can sense it in people. You know, being out at the sheriff's camp, you can sense when a guy is getting uncomfortable. When you're maybe kind of opening up his closet and pulling out a few things that he didn't want anybody to know about, or, and, you know, sometimes they'll say, well, you know, somebody's talking to you about me, or, you know, they've said they've been in church and felt that way. Well, you know what? It's just the Holy Spirit of God applying the truth of God to the hearts. But here again, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And then also, in chapter 3, in verse 13 of Hebrews, it says, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." One of the reasons that we need to be exhorted, encouraged, entreated, is because sin is deceitful. And it only takes a thought, a moment, for sin to be allowed into our minds, for sin to be allowed into our hearts. And who knows how long it can take to get those things back. It's like, I thought this week about what Brother Ronk was saying about sin, how it takes you farther than you want to go, and you stay there longer than you. How does that go? Anybody got that? You got that written down, Brother Jim? No. So it makes you pay more than you want to pay, or something. You know, I thought that's just like the store. It's just like the store. You go to the store and you stay there longer than you want to stay. And it takes you farther than you want to go, and you pay more than you want to pay. So sin and the store, hey, they both start with S. Think about that. Anyway, back to James 3. Back to James 3. I guess I should have had the saying down to speak first, and then it would have came across better. But anyway, so James 3. Verse 17, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure." We have to be pure. We have to be holy. God tells us in Peter chapter 1 over here, Verse 15, so 1 Peter 1:15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Everything about our life. And conversation, we talked about, doesn't just mean how we talk. It's a part of it. Conversation is all of our life, our whole conduct, words, thoughts, everything. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. God says you got to be holy. And he can't use us, lead us, guide us. So we got to be holy, pure. We need to be peaceable. You know, as much as lieth in us, we need to live at peace. And sometimes that might mean really swallowing hard. It might mean letting something go we think really needs to be touched upon, but we need to live at peace. We got to realize sometimes we think people are ready for certain things that they're not ready for. You know, and I've mentioned this before about how you can't give somebody a sip of water out of a fire hose. It's going to knock them over. It can hurt them. It can burn them. You know, let your speech be all of the grace seasoned with salt. Sometimes that might be one little speck of salt. And we're thinking, wow, I'm really not doing much here. I'm really not challenging them very much. I'm really not getting them to think. But you know what? That one speck of salt might be all they can manage at that time on that day. And so we got it. And I'm definitely not saying I've got this under control in my own life, but we have to depend upon the Holy Spirit to show us, okay, I'm dealing with this person. Lord, help me. What verse can I give? What could I just maybe make it so that they're not like the wicked where God is not in all their thoughts, but just the thought of God is entered in? You know, what can I do? But we've got to be peaceable and gentle and then easy to be entreated. Let's look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Sometimes we get the idea that this is only a preacher's job or other leaders in the church or whatever. But really, this is for everybody. This is for everybody. This is not just, okay, the leaders of the church take care of this, the preacher takes care of this. It's everybody. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. So obviously this is talking about the leaders of the church. It's a part of their job to admonish and treat kind of the same idea. Admonish is like to warn. So we're talking about the same idea basically here. But then in verse 14, it says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. It's not just the preacher's job. It's not just the leader's job. It's everybody's job. It is something that everybody needs to be doing. Now, it's not like we need to, you know, go out looking for problems. We definitely don't need to be looking for that. As things come to our mind, though, the Lord wants us to deal with it for sure. And then here in verse 14, again, now we exhort you. One of the things we need to keep in mind is the verse there in James is about easy to be entreated. So that's the side of the person who's being admonished or being warned or being urged to do something. But then the other side of that I want to look at or start looking at today is when we do the entreating, how to handle that, you know, how to make sure we're thinking correctly about this. But the first one here is about exhorting. And that it takes courage. So we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. we take a chance. Anytime we try to talk to somebody, whether it's at the sheriff's camp, whether it's trying to hand a tract to a clerk, a cashier, whether it's knocking on somebody's door, if it's a coworker, that we're just maybe trying to find out a little about them. Like, do they have any religious background? We might ask them a few questions. Every time we do that, we're taking a risk, so to speak, because the person could crumple the thing up and throw it back in our face or be really rude to us and say, this is none of your business. Why are you asking me about this? Or whatever. And I'm sure if we had opportunity, we could talk about different times we were trying to encourage somebody, trying to talk to them about the Lord, and it got thrown right back in our face. You know, and that can be really discouraging frustrating. For some people, it can really be depressing. For other people, it can really be, all right, let's go. You know, they get them angry. But whatever response we might have, and the same person doesn't necessarily respond the same way to rejection every time. But whatever, we're taking a risk. We're taking a personal risk. And so it takes courage. It takes courage. And really what it takes, maybe more than anything, is just not to worry about ourselves. Don't worry about their response. They're not really responding to me anyway. They're responding this way to the truth. They're responding this way to somebody trying to love them and get them the gospel. They're responding to somebody trying to encourage them to do the right thing by the scripture. But it takes courage. And Paul here is exhorting the brethren in Thessalonica to do this very thing, to warn them that are unruly. And he gives some categories. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. One size doesn't fit all. One size does not fit all when it comes to entreating somebody, admonishing them. We need to understand them. And this is a part of considering who we're talking to. What's the problem they're dealing with? How can I help them? Because if we try to warn somebody that's feeble-minded, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. If we support the unruly, it's not going to work. That's not what God says the unruly need. They don't need support. They need to be warned. Now, they need to be warned with humility. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We need to be careful because, number one, we're hopefully being led by the Spirit, being God's minister, trying to help somebody. And so we're representing Him. It's not about us and about them seeing things our way, doing things our way. That's one of the things I really emphasize out at the sheriff's camp. Because for those guys, you know, pretty much all the religions are the same. And whatever way you want to get to God works. And you can figure it out on your own. And I try to say, this is not about what I think. This is not about what I say. This is about the Word of God. It's about the Word of God needs to be the authority in my life, in all of our lives. Because if it's about what I think when I'm gone, it's not going to be any good for them. It's not going to be any good. But here in 1 Thessalonians, he's going to exhort. It takes courage. And to exhort is, according to Webster's 1828, to excite or to give strength, spirit, or courage. We need courage to warn people. We need courage to go door to door. We need courage to give a tract to somebody. There's always the possibility of rejection. We need strength to do that. I mean, in our own strength, what are we going to do? Flub it up? Go too far? Come up short? Anything but the right thing. Anything but. So he's trying to give them strength. He's trying to give them the spirit, the zeal, the vitality to follow through. And most people, and I say not all, I'm not saying all people, most people would just prefer to turn the other way and hope it goes away. That's what we really... What most of us would prefer to do. You know, we need to pray about it, but many people want to just pray. Okay, Lord, do something. Okay, Lord, do something. Well, and the Lord's saying, I want to do something. Will you be my mouthpiece? That doesn't mean we go before we prayed a lot about it and so forth. But we'd just rather turn away. But, you know, if somebody had cancer, you're just going to turn away? Or are you going to get the best medical help possible? The best possible. My brother told me a story about a guy who had diabetes. He got a brand new pair of shoes. He got a blister on the bottom of his foot. He lost his leg from a pair of shoes, from one blister. I think it was at the knee or right below the knee. But anyway, I mean, this guy, he's trying to do the right thing. He's trying to exercise, take care of himself. He loses part of his leg. You know, that one little blister. We can see from 1 Corinthians 5, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Something we think is minor, doesn't really matter, something we can sweep under the rug, let it go, don't worry about it, it'll go away. It's not. A little leaven leaveneth, it's going to leaven the whole lump. And we need wisdom. We definitely need wisdom in this area, but God does not want us just going around picking on people, you know, getting in their business, so to speak. But when something's brought to our attention, when God allows us to understand something, he expects us to do something about it. He says in verse 14 here, 1 Thessalonians 5, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. God wants to use us in this area. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy 3. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. As I've already mentioned, it doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter what I think. And in some ways, it doesn't matter what the preacher says. It doesn't matter what the missionary said. It doesn't matter what my dad said. It matters what the Word of God says. Now, when the preacher and the missionary and the father and so forth are using the Word of God, that's fantastic. But for me to go out to the sheriff's camp and say, well, my preacher says this. Well, my preacher says this. And the church I went to before I got in here, the preacher there said that. And the preacher that came in on Tuesday night said this. So really, what do we got when we say my preacher said? Nothing. An argument? It's the Scripture. It's got to be the Scripture. And that's where 2 Timothy 3 here, we're familiar with this, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. It's the only thing that's going to do anything. It's the only thing, you know, they might ask, the guys out there might ask a question, or they might talk about something between themselves. Brother Steve was saying a new guy was out there last night talking about evolution. And Brother Steve was explaining how two of the guys that are pretty regular coming out to the Bible studies were already talking to this guy about how evolution's wrong, which is fantastic. You know, but he thinks he knows something. You know, is it going to do any good to try to, well, this scientist and that scientist, well, it might help build the argument. It might help build the argument, but ultimately, what does that guy need? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's what he needs. And that is what the Holy Spirit's going to use to do something in his heart when the preacher's gone. But if it's so-and-so said this, the scientist said this, you know, that might help break down what the wall of his belief, so to speak, but ultimately it's the Word of God that's going to make the change. Verse 2 of chapter 4 here, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And so much of what people believe nowadays is a fable. It's just a story. It's just so-and-so said, and they said to so-and-so, and what good is that? It's just sinking sand. That's all it is. But we've got to have courage. We must have the courage, the strength. We also just have to have, what's the word I'm looking for? Just kind of a sense of, this is not about their response. This is not about me and how they treat me. This is not about their response to what I say. This is between me and the Lord. And this is about me just obeying what he tells me to obey, humbly. But if they respond, hallelujah. If they don't, that's okay too. I mean, we want them to, but I mean, between me and the Lord, it's about obedience. And we already looked at Hebrews 3:13. This encouragement, this exhortation. I mean, obviously, the different people we come in contact with at times, the people we're witnessing to and so forth, we don't see on a daily basis, but we need to be exhorting daily. And also, we looked, let's go back to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. In verse 25, we didn't read this yet, but Hebrews 10, 25, that's part of the reason why we gather here, is to get encouragement. And a part of that encouragement is for us to do what we know we need to do, and a part of doing that is to be figuring out, you know, with our coworkers, with our neighbors, with the people we come in contact in stores, how can we get them thinking about God? You know, maybe they say they're a Christian. What does that mean in America in 2010? I'm a Christian. Okay? Probably for 75% of the people that say it, what they mean by that is, I got sprinkled or immersed as an infant. And it could be even a higher percentage than that. For the other 25%, who knows what they mean by it? I got confirmed. You know, so it really means very little. And it's important that we carefully delve into, what do you mean by that? Okay, you're a Christian. Okay, do you go to church? Did you ever go to church? Well, how did you become a Christian? And you know, after a question or two, we're going to probably see from them either a look on their face that says, this isn't your business, or we're going to see a look on their face that says, they want to talk some more. You know, and so we have to be sensitive to that. But we've got to delve and find out. It's our responsibility. I mean, Paul talked about in Acts about how he gave the whole counsel of God and that he was free of the blood of all men. You know, and that's where we need to be. We need to be asking. You know, and maybe even before that we find out a little about them, their family background or whatever. And maybe there's, like pastors mentioned, maybe there's a track that the Holy Spirit would bring to our mind that, you know, give this track to them. You know, because maybe it's something about their family background, or, you know, maybe they're struggling with physical needs or whatever. But there's a track maybe that would fit for them. Which one that is, God's got to show us. But Hebrews 10:25, you're not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's part of why we're here, to be exhorted. You know, to be exhorted to be giving out the tracts, to be exhorted to putting a little salt out there with whoever we come in contact with. Let's turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. We'll finish with this here right now. Ephesians 4. Make sure you either be prepared or... Either be prepared or give them some reminders. I don't know. I think I've said it enough. There's a little, if you haven't looked at the office, just kind of peek in the door there. There's a little sign in there. Brother Jim, remember. So I said, you want me to put a sign up? He's like, yeah, go ahead, put a sign up. So I did. We're going to Ephesians 4, I think I said. Ephesians 4. And we are going to start in verse 11. Hebrews 4:11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. Every part has a role in having the body be built up. and it might not be a public part, but everybody's got a part. Everybody's got a part. And it's the same way with getting the gospel out. I don't live where you do. None of us live where Pastor does. We don't have the same neighbors as Pastor. You don't have the same neighbors as me. I don't have the same neighbors as you. We all live in a certain place so God can use us to get the word out. None of you work where I do. I don't think anybody here works at the same place. Well, a couple brothers. But the point is, we're all in different places. We don't all shop the same stores at the same times. You know, there's not like, okay, Liberty Baptist Church at 10 o'clock. Okay? We're who knows what time we're there, and who knows who we come in contact with. It's kind of funny to go into Meijer sometimes. That's where we primarily go. And it's like, the workers in there, you know, some of them you talk to a little bit more in depth than others. There's one guy in there, I think he goes out of his way to come over to say hello to us when we're in there, like when we're checking out, if he's there. He comes over and says, how you doing today, and so on. And there's another lady who seems like Nathaniel, talks to this lady, like she's just befuddled by how tall he's grown. You know, but that's the kind of thing. And there probably is a worker you see where you shop that you might have a connection with that I don't even know exists. But that's how the Lord wants to use us, in those different ways. One of the things the Lord is really working on me about is that life is too fast. It's too fast. Because you know what? Life will take you at the speed you allow it to. And if my life's going so fast that I'm worried about here, 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 and here, and I'm forgetting about, hey, I just could have given out a track. If life's going so fast, which it has been for me, I'll confess. It's been going way too fast. Whoa, put the brake on. Slow down and go at the speed where God can give reminders instead of like, oh boy, you know, here, there, and everywhere. It'll take us as fast as we let it. And we need to let the Holy Spirit dictate. Well, a lot of times the speed of life is right up here between our ears, how fast we let it go. And how you know, our cares are over here and over here and over there and this and that. Let God take us at his speed so that we can not miss these opportunities that he brings before us. But Lord willing, it'll be a few weeks, but remind Brother Jim. He's got a little grin back there. Remind Brother Jim or be prepared, I guess. So, but we'll pick this up. I guess it'll be September sometime. So, but let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love and goodness, and we do thank you, Lord, that in spite of our own failures and our own shortcomings, Lord, that you are patient and long-suffering and you love us and your Holy Spirit is so gentle with us, Lord, and as well as you. And we just pray, Lord, to allow ourselves to be led of your Spirit, Lord, to see these opportunities, make the most of them, and handle them, Lord, according to your word and according to the leading of your Holy Spirit. And Father, when someone comes to us and tries to admonish us or entreat us, Lord, that we would have just a humble, gentle spirit about it, Lord, that you can do a work in us. And Father, just once again, thank you so much for the privileges to be here and just lead, guide, and direct, and bless in the service to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.